up towards it, I had an excellent view of the imprisoned craft, suspended precariously high above the city. There were no canopy lights anywhere near it, no signs of habitation in the branches that supported it. I remembered what they had said about it being nice and discreet. We landed. By then Waverley had found a gun as well, and when I stepped on to the connecting ramp which led to the gondola, Fischetti was covering me with a third. About the only thing I could have done was jump over the side. But I wasn't that desperate. Not yet. Inside the gondola, I was escorted back to the chair where I had woken up only a couple of hours earlier. This time Waverley strapped me into the seat. "Well, get on with it," Sibylline said, standing with her hip to one side, with the gun held in one hand like a chic cigarette holder. "It isn't brain surgery, you know." She laughed. Waverley spent the next few minutes circumnavigating my chair, emitting odd grunts which might have indicated distaste. Now and then he touched my scalp, examining it with gentle fingers. Then, seemingly satisfied, he retrieved some equipment from somewhere behind me. Whatever it was looked medical. "What are you going to do?" I asked, trying again to get a response out of them. "You won't get far by torturing me, if that's what you've got in mind." "You think I'm going to torture you?" Waverley had one of the medical devices in his hand now, an intricate probe-like thing fashioned from chrome and inset with blinking status lights. "It would amuse me, I admit. I'm a colossal sadist, but aside from my own self-gratification, it would serve no purpose. We've trawled your memories, so we know all that you'd tell us under pain." "You're bluffing." "No, we're not. Did we have to ask your name?" "No, we didn't. But we knew you were called Tanner Mirabel, didn't we?" "You know I'm telling the truth in that case. I have nothing to offer you." He leant closer to me, his lens clicking and whirring as it absorbed visual data across an unguessable spread of the spectrum. "We don't really know what to know, Mr. Mirabel, assuming that's really your name. It's also very foggy in there, you see. Confused memory traces. Hurled swaths of your past which we just can't access. You'll understand that this does not put us in the best possible frame of mind to trust you. I mean, you accept that this is a reasonable response, don't you?" "I've only just been revived." "Ah, yes, and the ice mendicants normally do such a marvelous job, don't they? But in your case, not even their artistry could restore the whole." "Are you working for Ryvich?"
"I doubt it. I've never heard of him."
He glanced at Sibylline, as if seeking her opinion on the matter. She did her best to mask it, but I saw the way she pulled the facial equivalent of a shrug, a momentary widening of the eyes, as if to say that she hadn't heard of Ryvich either. It looked genuine, too. "All right," Waverley said. "I think I can do this nice and cleanly. It helps that there aren't any other implants in his head to get in the way."
"Just do it," Sibylline said. "We haven't got all damned night."
He held the surgical device against the side of my skull, so that I could feel its cold pressure against my skin. I heard a click, and he pulled a trigger. Chapter 17. The head of security stood before his prisoner, studying him as a sculptor might study a roughly hewn work in progress. Satisfied with the effort that had already taken place, but acutely aware of all the labour that lay ahead. Much remained to be done, but he promised himself that there would be no errors. Sky Houseman and the saboteur were almost alone. The torture room was in a distant and largely forgotten annex of the ship, accessible only by one of the train